roster situations, I can imagine, that usually we're talking about, you know, coaching changes and positional coaching changes with a whole lot of churn among the personnel itself, and those assistants having an opportunity to say, well, I like this guy better than this guy, or I want to play him here, play him there. That's not really happening because they're so damn loaded. I don't know who's going to play their way on here. It's not like you've got expensive veterans that you could see getting a, being a cap casualty or that kind of thing, where we don't have that as much of a moving part as a result of having new coaches, having their choices on guys. And the guys are here.
Well, Dan, it's literally one of the most talented young rosters in the NFL, because even next year, you're not going to see much change. You got Whitehair and Trevathan are the only contracts coming up. So you are returning, you know, basically 22 of your 24 starters if you're going to go three wides and with a nickel. You know, Amos and Callahan are gone, and that's it. Where you are going to see a lot of churn, though, I mentioned this the other night in that show that Ant just referenced. I don't even feel this is a bold prediction. I see at least four undrafted free agents that I think are going to make this team. Your draft choices almost always make this team because their last three picks were, you know, you look at Denmark and Shelley and White. I love White. I can't wait to see what he's going to do. Denmark and Shelley. Shelley's kind of a lock. You're going to see a lot of churn at the bottom of the roster. I think 40 through 53 is going to be very fluid. You know, I think the special teams are going to be very fluid. But you're absolutely right. I mean, we know who is starting at every position on the field before camp even starts, assuming Clinton Dix is healthy.
And with the roster and the construct of it at this point, I think that we're going to see a very similar approach to what we saw last preseason from Matt Nagy as far as how many of the guys end up getting any significant time in any preseason games. And this year it's going to feel like it makes sense. I had deep questions last year about the limited amount of time that he gave to starters and how much, especially on the offensive side, they would be able to find some cohesion not really playing in any preseason games together. Obviously, it worked out fine. Part of that is because of how phenomenal the defense was last year. The offense did have its fits and starts. But if anything, early in the season, look better early in games than they did late in games in the initial month or so of the year. But that shouldn't be the case this season. They don't really need to work together as much this year as I felt like they would have last year. So if I never see Mitch Trubisky take a snap during a preseason game this year, I won't really bat an eye about it because he didn't take that many last year. And overall, as the franchise, it worked out fine. And going into the second year in the system and having so many spots on this team already solidified within the two deep, then it just doesn't feel nearly as necessary.
We will hand you the ball here at the Mesh Point. We are Sports Radio 670, The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. Heron and Arkish, guys, have fun.
Thank you. You guys have a great weekend.
Mesh.
We got two guys who I am so excited to have.
Hub Arkish and Anthony Heron from noon to 2 on 670 The Score.
Hub, are you mentally and physically prepared for another Bourbon A training camp?
Well, I'm physically prepared.
I'm just fired up to be here today.
Bears down a point, 43 seconds, snap, Trubisky whips it down the right side. Robinson's got it over the top of the defender.
I mean, it's the best time of year again. Back to football, back here with the boys. Obviously, a lot of excitement around what we did last year.
Live from Bears training camp in Bourbon A, it's Hub Arkish and Anthony Heron on 670 The Score.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Hub. He's Anthony. We are looking forward to spending the next couple hours with you. The top of this hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. And this hour is going to be brought to you by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street in Oak Lawn. Anthony, welcome to Bourbon A. I got in yesterday. We did have the session where we watched all the players pull up in their some mostly new vehicles. You know, always curious to see who's driving what. It wasn't just, of course, Tariq Cohen and a slingshot. There were some pretty fancy wheels rolling into Bourbon.
Well, they've earned it. You know, guys have earned their paychecks, so they spent the off season getting their work in, but also spent the off season apparently buying a few new toys and some fancy duds and everything else. But this is the time of year where a lot of the guys is probably the last time you'll see them cleanly shaven up top. You know, a lot of them are going to grow beards that are going to begin to look awkward here and there because that's just what happens when you get into camp mode. And there's a level of anticipation that's built since that playoff game I just referenced in transition against the Eagles, where it just felt like immediately, because we'd all been talking about throughout the season of the window that the Bears were in as soon as that Khalil Mack trade happened and you bring him and you add him to a roster that had already been revamped by Ryan Pace. And now this window, with progress that was made last year, really impressive efforts, and then the thud that it ended with. As soon as Parkey's double doink took place, we were all anticipating this point, this day where the season officially begins for the Chicago Bears and what it will potentially bring as they head towards the regular season and head towards trying to defend a division championship and potentially, like you referenced in transition, is this going to be a Super Bowl team? So today is the day where that all begins.
You know, you worry sometimes that you're drinking the Kool-Aid. And of course, with this Bears franchise, there have been very few one-and-dones. You know, you had the run in the 80s, which is still one of the historic runs in the history of the league. I believe that the Bears' record between 84 and 88 still is the most regular season wins over a five-year stretch in NFL history. Mm. And, of course, there was the 85 Super Bowl in there. And then even after 89, they went back to the playoffs in 90 and 91. Then you get to the Lovey years, where it was scattershot a little bit, but he had a few pretty good football teams. The one and done, of course, with 2001 with Dick Duran. But remember, the year after, all the home games played in Champaign, an injury list like nothing I've ever seen, a new GM who started deconstructing the roster before they had lost the playoff game to Philadelphia. So, you know, with this Bears team, usually where there's one, there's a few. And what's interesting, or I should say with this Bears organization, what's interesting to me about this group, and I made reference to it a few minutes ago, this is also one of the youngest rosters in the NFL. You look at these kids who were all pros last year. I mean, Tariq Cohen's not in his prime yet. Kyle Fuller at cornerback is just arriving in his pro prime. Eddie Jackson's a second. He's going to be a third-year player this year. And then I see James Daniels and Anthony Miller and Cody Whitehair and Bilal Nichols and Roquan Smith and Roy Robertson-Harris. I mean, these kids have shown us that they're still not at their ceilings yet, and their ceilings could be pretty high. I don't know how you predict anything but another playoff run from this team, short of the one dreaded, you know, the injury bug, you know, right. and you just can't predict that.
I'm looking just to sort of evaluate the roster really quickly. Prince Amukamara is 30. Kyle Long is 30. As for a definitive contributor who's right there as a starter, you know, Buster Screen, if we assume he's going to be a starter in that nickel spot, he's 30. So, I mean, overall, yeah, the youth of the Bears squad, it's impressive. It shows why everyone's excited about the window that's here. And then the elements that tie into whether or not, of course, at the quarterback position, Mitch Trubisky, what level of development we end up seeing from him this season, I don't think that's going to be tested as much during the preseason games themselves. But to get to watch him on the practice field and see a level of control, a level of comfort that he'll have out there in directing the offense, it's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable to be able to watch that to the degree that we get to see it out here. And fans, of course, you know, today is a private practice, and then as we get into tomorrow morning's practice, it's going to be public, and you're going to see plenty of folks out here checking things out. So they're going to want to watch Mitch closely. I'm not nearly as concerned about his development as I hear a lot of other folks talking about it, though, because I feel comfortable and confident with what I saw from him down the stretch last season, what I saw from him in the second half of that playoff game, and with the knowledge in it, and you remind folks of it very frequently, the limited amount of football that he played during his collegiate career, and all those things add up. And I go back pretty frequently, his rookie season, do you remember the Snap It Mitchell game where he's out there, I think it was the third preseason game, where he didn't necessarily get to start, but he got some time with the starters against, I think it was the Tennessee Titans, and you got Dow Loggins, motions are going around, he's barely breaking the huddle, you got folks, Dow's yelling, Snap It Mitchell, because he just has no idea what's happening, but he played such little football before that point, had barely ever broken a huddle in his life, so to me, there's a scale that he's graded upon. It's a little different than the scale I think other guys who are more experienced are graded by. So, you know, I'm not ready to say I think Mitch is going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, an all-time great, but I think he's going to continue to progress. And what they've surrounded him with, he doesn't need to be Pat Mahomes for the Bears to have a legit shot at a title.
You know, Anthony, having gotten to spend a little time around him now, you know, off the field, and we're not hanging out together, we're not buddies, but we've done a couple events and, you know, gotten to talk. I couldn't be more impressed with his commitment, his work ethic, his competitive spirit and his leadership skills. Mm-hmm. And it's not only seeing it on the field and in the locker room, but getting to talk to him about it and understand his approach to it.
And that was the tough thing to know for sure, yeah, with as little as he played in college, right? Yeah,
well, those were like 2 through 5 on the list. I'm coming to number one because that to me is where both the pro and the con lies, which is that we've now seen enough of him in 26 NFL games to know he is, I don't want to say exceptional, but as quarterbacks go, he is a very, very good athlete for the mm-hmm. position. He doesn't have a huge arm, but he has more than enough arm. I'm not worried that his arm is going to be a limiting factor. Mechanically, a lot of our amateur scouts and experts out there love to get on his mechanics. The fact is he's relatively sound mechanically. Mm-hmm. There's always things, it's like a golf swing. You can always tinker with it a little bit. So what keeps, and by the way, as an alternate, albeit, and this drives Olin nuts when I count alternates as Pro Bowlers, and I agree with him, by the way. Either you get elected to the Pro Bowl or you don't. But the fact that he was an alternate means, and forget the fan portion of it, coaches and players, his peers, he got votes. You know, people yeah. thought this guy's really coming. His quarterback rating, I think, of 96.4 was probably a Bears record. So we've seen he can do a lot of really good things on the field. Now I get to what you're talking about. The thing that separates a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL who can have a good year or a good game, who can even get to the playoffs, you know, occasionally one wins a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, you know, somebody like that. Mm. But what separates the great quarterbacks from everybody else is the intuitive, God-given gift for the game. You know, it's how you explain a Joe Montana. It's how you explain a Drew Brees. You know, these without the physical abilities, they're still Hall of Famers. And this is where, because he'd only played 13 games in college, because he's only played 26 in the NFL, the game still has to slow down more for him. Yeah. Because when people talk about his accuracy to me is a concern down the field. I don't think his short game accuracy has been a problem. And the reason he has trouble there is because he's not reading things quick enough. And when you're slow to read it, you're almost always going to underthrow it. And when you read it too quick, you're almost always going to overthrow it. You know, so I don't know if he has that. I mean, and that's what we're going to learn this year. I think in this third year, they can coach him and work with him all they want. He can study, and film study, I guess, is important. But but until he is reacting and not thinking, we're not going to know what his ceiling is.
And that muscle memory that you want him to get to, when you think about, you know, comparably, just to use an all-time great as an example of it, where Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning didn't enter the NFL with elite arm talent, but he certainly had arm talent when he came into the league, and that diminished over the time he was in the NFL. But you think of Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, you know, guys who do it at a really high level for a long time. And some of that ability to anticipate passes, to get the ball out of your hands just as you're processing the information, where you're already making your throwing motion begin while the information is still seeping from your brain out through your right hand. And Mitch doesn't necessarily have that. It's not innate in him. That type of thing seems to be innate in a Pat Mahomes type of guy, where maybe he doesn't always know exactly what he's looking at, but he's willing to kind of let it rip, cut it loose, and put it into a tight window with some anticipation, with some timing, at the different arm slots and those types of things. Mitch seems to be more of a reps guy, where the more work he gets at it, then those things will become, while perhaps not innate in his game from birth, but become more muscle memory for him, where he sees it, he can diagnose the coverage pre-snap, anticipate what's going to happen, and then as he sees it, starts to get the ball out of his hand with more frequency, with more urgency, with more confidence. And when he throws with confidence, to your point, when he's not sure what he's looking at, when he's trying to decide if he's going to evacuate the pocket, if he's trying to decide whether or not he should hang in there, and he started to, as the season went on, hang into the pocket more frequently as opposed to looking for an opportunity to run. When he's confident with what he's looking at and letting the ball cut loose, that's when he's at his best, as most quarterbacks tend to be the case.
Well, and let's remember, because the Mahomes, you know, Watson, Trubisky comparisons are going to go on for their entire careers. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes is the reigning MVP. He's a great football player. He's going to continue to be a great football player. I think there's a good chance he never has another season like he did last year, because it's only been done twice before.
Right. It's going to be tough to repeat.
I mean, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady each only did it once, right. You know, so. But I'm not criticizing him in any way. But the point I want to make is, again, to what you and I were just talking about, a three-year starter in college, more than three times as many games. And granted, no, they don't play defense in the Big 12. I get that. But still, just the timing, the game action, the seeing that, the understanding. And the other thing is that he had something last year that Mitch Trubisky hasn't had in Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. He got away with a bunch of throws he never should have made. Mm-hmm. Now, Allen Robinson is that player. a year removed from his comeback season off ACL. He was playing that way. He had his best game in the playoffs last year. Anthony Miller, they think, can be that kind of player. And then if you put Tyler Gabriel in the slot and try and get him over the top, he can make those kind of plays. So I think the combination of another year of game action and all the new weapons he's been given this year is where we'll see how much closer he can get to Mahomes, because quite frankly, right now the gap is pretty large.
And not that he lacked for weapons last year. You know, he had a loaded receiver core last year. He had one of the best move tight ends in the National Football League, and Trey Burton, from what we saw just with the package that he was utilized in Philadelphia and in certain games when he was utilized in that manner in Chicago last season by Matt Nagy, Mark Helfrich, he showed the ability to be that guy in certain games last season. And what I thought showed the depth of the Bears' playmakers on offense so much last season was that game by game, we would sort of consistently, whether it was you on postgame with Big Cat and Olin, whether it was me on Bears postgame live over on Fox 32 with Luke Kanellis and Corey Wood and Jim Miller, just talking about leaving the game and feeling like, man, there was a guy who felt like he could have gotten the ball more. Like, we'd leave games like, man, if only they could target Allen Robinson more. Wow. What if they could get the ball into Trey Burton's hands more frequently? Man, didn't Anthony Miller look great in those two receptions he had? How about they get him the ball more? And then the Jordan Howard discussion, Tariq Cohen. There were so many players. I mean, it's one thing. You think back to a couple of years before that, there was such a dearth of playmakers on the Bears. It's like, man, is there anybody who can make a play on this squad? Now, even last season, before you add some of the extra weapons into the mix this year, it was, man, there are so many guys who can make plays. You're so excited about trying to figure out how do you spread the football around? How do you get all these people involved? And I agree, to sort of enhance the point you were making. I think Allen Robinson is sort of an enhanced version of any of that, because he's sort of your mutant. He's the guy who, no matter what the coverage is, no matter how tight a defensive back is on him, he's the type of playmaker who you can force the ball to him. But there's so many other guys who, whether or not you're forcing the ball to them, still deserve to be fed. And that's a great spot for a quarterback to be, where everybody at every position, you feel like, you know what, if I get it into his hands, he can do something special.
A-Rob will be his Kelsey. The question is, will Cohn or Miller or Gabriel or somebody else be his Hill, his Tyreek Hill? Hey, I got to ask you something. Please don't take this wrong, because we're working at the same time. I wouldn't know. Mills is with you guys at Fox on postgame now?
Yes. Jim Mills,
Man, talk about the king of media, our buddy Mills. He is everywhere. Good for him. Good for you guys.
Yeah, we're going to be doing the preseason games together as well. I didn't do preseason during the pregame shows last year. It would be me and Jim in studio with Lou for the preseason pregame shows.
If you're watching on TV, you got to get these guys at Fox. If you're listening on the radio, you got to get us at the Score. Of course, the best thing would be if you get your TV on with them, but turn the sound down, turn us up on the Score, and then everybody's getting their ratings points,
Right.
Hey, he's Anthony Herron. I'm Hub Arkish. We're kicking it off for 670 The Score and 670thescore.com down here from Bourbon A. We had hoped to have a plethora of guests for you, but they changed the working schedule. Everybody focuses on practice. Today's practice at 3 o'clock, closed to the public. Don't get on the road to Bourbon A. You're not getting in today. But all of the open practices are at 8:15 in the morning, which, we were talking to Shane. I didn't look. I didn't realize. And had that been the case, we would have had players and coaches coming over here left and right. Unfortunately, with the 3 o'clock practice, they also have a two-hour install or walkthrough that they do many days in training camp, and that just began. And so everybody is on the field working. We don't have any Chicago Bears coming over between now and 2 o'clock, but we do hope that you will give us a call at 312-644-6767. Again, that number, 312-644-6767. You can text us at 670-011. I'm going to have to take off the polarized Ray-Bans because I can't read the text screen with them on, but we'll get your texts if you get to us again.
Pulling up here, we can get to some of those. Some folks have some questions already that they got for us.
Yeah, we really prefer to talk with you anyway. So 312-644-6767. We're going to take this quick break from Bourbon A, and we're back in a moment on The Score.
Breaking news on The Score, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by the National Association of Realtors, who will stop at nothing to find you the perfect home. There are very few things in sports that are absolutely predictable. The Patriots winning the AFC East, the Yankees and Red Sox playing games that won't end, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, or Novak Djokovic winning tennis's next major, or the Washington Snyders and New York Jets finding chaos before the first day of training camp. Washington began camp Wednesday with Trent Williams, their best player. Nowhere in sight. Was he holding out for more money, or because he was angry over a misdiagnosis by the training staff. A day earlier, team mouthpiece Bruce Allen claimed he knew exactly what was going on with Williams, but wasn't telling. Welcome to second grade. Meanwhile, the Jets started camp without Quinnen Williams, the number 3 pick in the draft, because of a contract dispute. A day later, he signed. Why it couldn't have been 24 hours earlier is a classic Jets mystery. I'm John Feinstein.